is it not? There's a reason for him not saving me. Man, there's plenty of reasons why. Huh? Boy, there have been plenty of times he's picked me up. I'm glad for that this morning. All right? Everybody all right? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, we're not trying to be a discourager this morning, but we want you to listen to a warning. You need to be warned along the way, not just always that everything's okay. Can I tell you everything's not okay? Now, if you're saved, that part's okay, but can I tell you everything else ain't okay? Can I tell you our homes ain't okay? Can I tell you that our county ain't okay? Can I tell you that our country ain't okay? The world ain't okay. Things ain't okay. Things are in bad shape. Now, if you listened in Sunday school this morning, when Brother Rick was teaching of what's coming, and it said, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Well, that don't sound good to me. Does it sound good to you?
No.
It ain't going to be good. Now, the only good thing is that Christ is coming in the rapture, and we that are saved are going to be caught out amidst the wrath of God. But that don't stop the wrath of God. We dismiss the wrath of God. And our people are going to see the wrath of God. Our families are going to see the wrath of God who are not saved. And we need to be aware. I'm afraid that let's just look. Let's just look. All right? Let's pray together and we'll get right into the matter. Everybody okay? You guys work for the Lord, you help yourself. All right, let's pray together. Father, I come, I need your touch. Lord, I need your mind. I need to be clear in my mind and have your mind that I might be pleasing to you, not of anything I want, but of everything you desire from me. Lord, help me this morning. I know I'm nothing, I'm a wretch. Lord, help me to walk the way I need to walk. Help me to do what I need to do. Help our people this morning, I pray. So many gone this morning, I pray that you might be with them as they're relaxing, they're vacationing, they keep them safe. And then, Lord, for those who sick, for death has come, encourage them. But for us who are here, and us who are listening, those who are listening on live stream, those downstairs, God, I pray that you might get glory out of our life. I'm asking. Touch me fresh, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, we said earlier, today is the day we set aside to honor men and women who have died in service down through the years, and to keep us free, to make us free, keep us free, starting all the way back with the founding of our country. As we come to this world for freedom to worship Christ, not freedom to worship any religion. That is not how this country was started, for freedom of any religion, but for freedom in Christianity. Everybody understand that? It wasn't that we could come over here and worship a totem pole. That's why they died for freedom, for Christianity. If you read the true history of our country. And they started dying and they give up everything. Our forefathers give up everything. They give up their homes. They give up their money. They lost everything they had and then died to make us a free country. Think about that. They give up everything. Those who did not die give up their farms and their plantations and all their money. And many of them died paupers that we could be rich. And God allowed that because God still stands for right. God has always stood for right, and He still stands for right. As our country grew, I want you to think about this, as our country grew, then there was attacks against freedom. World War I, World War II, and the people in our country turned to God, and men and women volunteered to leave their homes again, and to leave their finances, to leave everything, to leave wives pregnant, to leave little children, to go and sacrifice their life, not even if they would ever have a family. 18, 17, 18-year-olds dying on the beaches, and will soon celebrate the Normandy invasion and all those who died. And you was considered an old man if you was in your 20s. If you was in a service in your 20s, considered an old man. Young boys going over, that we might have our freedom. And we've got to remember that. But yet our country here turned to God. And people prayed. People prayed for the soldiers and prayed for them to come home and prayed for victories. And God showed Himself strong in miracles of weather when they was major battles. Miracles of miscommunication of the enemy. If you read history at all, you see that God was in control and using men and women because of freedom.
Right.
But then, man forgot God. Victory in World War I, victory in World War II, and then man starts forgetting God and protesting God and protesting foolishness. And Korea, men go lose their life with no victory.
Right.
Vietnam, men go lose their life with no victory. And in the Iraqi war and all the wars been over there in the last 20-some years, men losing their life and women losing life with no victory. The men are great soldiers.
Yes.
And they went and gave their life, but our country has forgotten them because they forgot God. Are you hearing me?
Right.
Forgotten God.
Right.
And then when things get a little tough, then everybody wants to holler, "Where's God? Why ain't God doing this? Why is God allowing this? Why if God is such a God of love, why is all this taking place?" Well, if somebody spits you in your face constantly, will you still shell out a $100 bill every time they spit in your face? How long will your patience last? How long will you keep doing for somebody that keeps denying you and promoting evil instead of good and calling evil good and good evil? Denying God and our country is in such a shape and the world is in such a shape that the first three torch runners for the 2024 Summer Olympics are transgenders dressed up in some of the awfulest garb it ever was, and who's going to be running the torch for the Summer Olympics for the world. And we wonder, well, why don't God give me this? And why don't God give me that? And that's the shape our world's in. I understand that. So everything's not good this morning. Everything's not okay. And everything's not okay down at the house. Everything's okay. It's not okay down at the church house. Not okay in the county. It's not okay in the state. It's not okay in the United States. It's not okay in the world. And we better rise up and seek the only one that's going to help, and we seek God. But God won't be used. God won't be used. You think about that this morning. So let's read a little bit. First Samuel chapter 4. Now, I want you to listen carefully. We're going to be looking at Israel. We are not Israel. We will never be Israel. We've never been Israel. And we're not Israel, and we can't take Israel's promises. They were Israeli promises. But the Word of God is for me, and it's written for me, and I can learn from the example. We okay? First Samuel chapter 4. We'll give you a few thoughts, and then we'll step aside. First Samuel chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistine to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. They slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemy.' So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwells between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' Now they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is coming to the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have sent to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.' And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen." Let's stop right there and pray. Father, I come once again. I need your help just now. And amen. We've then looked at this many times in reading and to get you a timeline, if you would, just for a minute, where we're at and show you an example here simply out of the Word of God. Chapter 3, Samuel is just a young boy, and God calls him to be the prophet. He's raised in the prophet's house of Eli, and Eli has done more stuff. He's done went liberal, if you would. And his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, have been about as dirty and immoral and corrupt as could be in the priesthood. And things were not good at all. And the children of Israel now are getting ready to go to battle. Samuel has done been told in chapter 3 that there's judgment coming. He's been told that Eli's house is going to be judged. And we'll see if you keep reading on chapter 4 that Phinehas and Hophni were killed. Eli is a fat man, falls off the bench, breaks his neck, he dies. Things ain't good at all. Another son born here named Ichabod. It shows the Spirit of the Lord hath departed. Everything has turned sour. Everything ain't good. But the people shouted. Everything wasn't good, but the people were shouting. Think about that. The people were shouting. Is that what it said? We read in your hearing there that when the ark of the Lord came to the people, they shouted and rang the earth. They didn't just holler. I mean, they shouted and rang the earth. But they failed. They was a defeat. Don't make no sense. Sound like us, don't. Sound like us shouting when there's When there's defeat, sound like us shouting when things ain't right. And this morning we want to look at it. Can we look verse by verse? If we can, just for a moment, or skip a verse here and there. When I look at chapter 4, and I look at verse 3, it says, and when we go back up to verse 2, they went again to Philistines, the Israel did, and they lost the battle. Well, they're not accustomed to losing battles. They lost 4,000 men. They weren't accustomed to losing battles.
Right.
But there was something missing. What was missing was they went to battle and they didn't have the ark. See, before when they went to battle, when they traveled anywhere, the ark went before.
Yes.
Everybody understand? Everybody remember that? You know the Ark of the Covenant?
Right.
The Ark of the Covenant, about the size of this pulpit. Maybe not quite as tall. Covered with gold, wood covered with gold, all shows Christ.
Yeah, right.
All pictures Christ. The Ark of the Covenant was wood showing his humanity, overlaid with gold showing his deity. The plate of gold and the cherubims above and the blood put on shows his mercy and his grace. When they come out of the wilderness, they brought the Ark. Come down to the waters of Jordan, and when they stepped in the waters, the water went back. And if you'll read, Jordan means descent or to go down, and goes into the Dead Sea, so it's on the road to death and judgment. And when the ark stepped over into water, the water back plumb up to the city of Adam.
Yes.
Because that ark pictures Christ, and Christ took care of things. Come back to Adam, if you would. Think about that, and that's always a picture of Christ. So anytime Christ was in front, there was victory. Anytime that Christ was put out in the front, they didn't have to worry. They come through the wilderness fighting battle after battle. We know the Battle of Jericho. They marched with the ark everywhere they went. Ends up now they got the ark set somewhere where it ain't supposed to be, up in Shiloh.
Yes, right.
Sometimes we put the Lord where he's supposed to be.
Right.
You follow me?
Yeah, amen.
And you go to battle and the Lord ain't where he's supposed to be.
Yep.
So here they went to battle. They go to battle and they lose. They lose. Well, after 4,000, now, what is bad about battles and what is bad about war is that there's always casualties. And we've seen it, well over a million that has sacrificed their life for our country. It'd be a shame to watch this country fold and go down, and all these men and women that shed their blood to keep us free, it's a shame to watch it.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace to them men and women who died.
Right.
It's a disgrace for them. And I think these 4,000 men who were sent up to battle, they died. They didn't come home because the Lord wasn't in the right place where the leadership was.
Right. Right.
Are we still okay?
Yeah.
Think about this. So somebody had to die. So they did. But then look at verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" Well, why the Lord letting this happen to us? That sound familiar? Why is the Lord letting all this happen to us? Why are we going down? Why is this happening in our country? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? Huh? Then look at verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Now they send for the Lord. See, the ark represented his presence. Be okay with that?
Yep.
So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. Did you notice the wording in verse 3? Notice the wording in the middle of verse 3 when they sent for the Ark and said, "Let us fetch the Ark. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemy." When the Ark comes, not when the presence of the Lord. They wouldn't want the presence of the Lord.
Right.
They was wanting things that represented the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
Now I want you to listen carefully, for we're going to apply here in a moment. The children of Israel wasn't interested in the Lord. They wanted the symbol of the Lord. Their faith was in the symbol of the Lord, not the Lord. They weren't interested in it. They didn't call on God to help them. They said, "Let's go get the ark." Because they realized, "Wait a minute, we don't have the ark with us." No, we don't have the presence of the Lord. We don't have the ark with us. Are you following me?
Right.
Well, let's look on. Let's look on. Verse 5. "And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again." That's what we just told you. The earth rang out because the ark was there, not because the presence of the Lord was there.
Right. Right.
They didn't shout because the Lord was there, but here comes their symbol. Here comes their religion.
Yes. Yeah.
Here comes their... Now we got the church. Now we got the people. But they still wasn't interested in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
See, I'm afraid that's where we're at today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we're there today that we're interested in the symbols of Christianity.
Yep.
And we're interested in the furniture of Christianity. Pulpits and Bibles and pianos and benches and buildings. But we're not interested in the presence of the Lord.
Good.
Even in our own personal lives. We're interested in the activity. See, I don't know that we fellowship with church or fellowship with God. We come to church and fellowship one with another about God.
Right.
Everybody listening? Now let's look on. Let's look on. Verse 7. "And the Philistines were afraid." They were afraid because the people shouted.
Right.
They didn't have a clue about that ark.
Right.
They didn't know nothing about that ark. And you know that they got the ark.
Right.
And all they had was misery after they got the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And then when David went back down to get the ark, he didn't do it the way the Bible said to get the ark. And he got a wagon to go haul it back. And then Uzzah dies because of mishandling. Y'all read your Bible?
Yep.
But all this happens all because of mishandling the things of God.
Right.
And everybody said God is the God of love and God don't judge nobody.
Mm-hmm.
See, things ain't okay this morning.
Right.
Things ain't okay.
Right.
That might be the better title. Things ain't okay. Let's look at verse 10. "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot." But wait a minute. They just got the ark. Now there's 30,000 got killed. They wasn't just 4,000. Now 30,000 more get killed, and they got the ark. How come? How come? And here's your message this morning. Because God won't be used. God won't be used. And God, they used God. They used God. And I want us to look at our life this morning. I want us to look about what happened. See, as the ark had always went before. See, for years, we always put the Lord first, right? We put the Lord first. We put the Lord first. And then something happens. And it happens just like it did to the children of Israel. They got careless. All right? They careless, negligent, We're going to use the C for alliteration, but careless, negligent, regardless, as they left the ark of Shiloh and go on to battle. You know, just like we all fight our battles without the Lord.
Yeah.
That we got to do it our way, and we face everything in our strength, and we face everything in our wisdom, and we face everything in our ability, and we get careless with the Lord. Now, that careless and that neglect, if you would, then it calls us to be carnal. Because the church house is carnal. Eli, Phineas, and Hophni, they were all carnal.
Yes, right.
The church house, the leaders in the church house. I'm preaching to me this morning.
Yeah.
Preaching to all of us this morning. And there was trouble down at the church house. Of course there's going to be trouble. When we neglect the things of God, there's going to be problems.
Right, right.
Think about that. And that's what we find here. We find that they were careless or neglectful. And then they were carnal, if you would. But then there's another word that we find. Now listen carefully. I'm just trying to be alliterated for you to remember. Is that we turn calloused. We turn hard to the things of God. See, nothing moves us no more.
Yeah, right.
Nothing moves us no more. Are you hearing me? Heartache don't move us to God. It makes us calloused.
Yeah.
Instead of when we're hurting, run to God. When we're hurting, we run away from God.
Yeah.
When things are bad, we don't go try to find help from God's people or God's Word. We try to find help from the world.
Right.
That's what we do. Or if we do find it, try to find it at church, we don't find it where it's a conservative church.
That's
right. Because people that are conservative are too narrow-minded. People that are conservative are too straight-laced. People that are conservative are too harsh and too judgmental. So we want to go where there's liberal thinking.
You're right.
We still okay? So we'll. I don't feel like going to church, so I'll watch the TV preachers. And you get your advice from people like. You know, women love to run to Joyce Meyer. If you've ever done a little bit of history on Joyce Meyer, if Satan had a sister, it'd be her.
Absolutely.
Everybody heard that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you what's right here. All right? And then, of course, of course, a lot of people like Hagee. Yeah, a lot of people like him. That's all right. Better read your Bible.
Yes.
Better read your Bible. Amen, Preacher Moore.
Amen.
Huh? Or somebody likes T.D. Jakes. You know, that's excitement. Yeah. Yeah, he don't believe in the Trinity. You know, that's okay. That's excitement. See. All right, we get callous though to the things of God. See, we get callous to the truth. The truth, because the truth offends. We can't handle the offense.
That's right.
We can't handle that. But that's what the children of Israel did. Right? We're still okay? Think about it. So let us go fetch the Lord. I got a problem. I'm going to go fetch the Lord. And bring him down here on what's going on in my life. I don't want him now. I didn't want him earlier when I lost 4,000. Now I'm going to go fetch him. I'm going to go fetch him. Well, can I tell you, you don't fetch the Lord.
Come on.
You don't fetch the Lord. He, God won't be used. He won't be used. So what happened? Then we have more casualty. See, carelessness and carnality and callousness brings casualty.
Yes.
It don't bring help. It brings casualty.
Right. Right.
You don't believe? Let's look again at verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. Wait a minute, they shouldn't lose. They had the ark. They had the ark. God says you bring the ark if you want to, but you're not using me.
Right.
We all better pay attention this morning, because when things come our way, we'll walk away from God and live the way we want to live and live selfishly and carnally and with callous minds and hearts. And when something bad happens, then we call on God and wonder why He don't come to rescue.
Right.
Because He ain't going to be used.
Right. Good preaching.
He ain't going to be used. He's going to say, wait a minute. You got your church.
Yeah.
You got your benches. You got your pulpit. Hey, you got your preacher. Huh? But you forgot me. You forgot me before you had the problem. Are you listening to me this morning? We've got the church building. We've got the pulpit. We've got the furniture. We've got the preacher. But we forgot God. And we forgot God before we had the problem. We don't forget God during the problem. Are you hearing me? We don't forget God during the problem. We have forgotten God before the problem. And that's why when the problem comes, we don't get an answer. Are you hearing me? That's why in many cases we don't get no answer. Nothing changes. It gets worse. Huh? We joke and say, cheer up, tomorrow will be worse. It's true, because we've forgotten God. Can we read on? Let's start at verse 11. And the ark was taken, and the two sons, and the ark of God was taken. The world took their God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? He took their God. Israel was trusting that box. They weren't trusting the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? We trust tradition. We trust grandma. We trust grandpa's professions. We trust the old preachers that's dead. We trust the past services. We trust everything. And we're not trusting the Lord. Our lives are a mess. Our lives are a ray. We're a nervous wreck. We're torn to pieces. We're not trusting God. We're trusting our abilities.
Exactly right.
Trusting what we know and who we know.
What we can do.
Instead of what God and who God is this morning. And God ain't pleased with it, and we're trying to use God. Huh? And everybody said, well, God's the God. Well, yes, He is. It's why you're breathing.
Right.
We're breathing because of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
But look what we're losing. Look around you. Look what we're losing. Why? Why? Because we've forgotten God and we call on Him. We're going to go fetch Him. Huh? Let's go have a big conference and fetch Him. Huh? Have some kind of big meeting and fetch Him so we can see who can out-preach the other. Huh? Let's go fetch Him down to our meeting so we can see who can out-preach the other and who can out-holler the other and walk away without God. Huh?
Good.
And it's all got to do with what we feel. Performance oriented. they had a, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but that's the way it is. Have the big gospel sings, and it looks like the ones that didn't get out of bed and come and sing, looks like they still got their bedclothes on. The others look like they've been out to the beach. You get on stage and sing and jump and jive. And they think, boy, God showed up. No. No, God didn't. He wasn't there.
Amen.
But we fellowshiped about God.
Amen.
But not with God.
Amen.
That's what we do around here a lot of time. We fellowship with one another about God instead of fellowshipping with God.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Let's read on. 1 Samuel 4:11. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. When the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, they could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. My two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. It came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. But now it gets worse. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, was a child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. About the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. The glory of God has departed. Probably nothing any sadder could be said of a nation, or sadder said of a church or a community or a person, that the power of God, the Spirit of God departed to where it's just deadness. We see it all over. We see churches dried up and dead. And they're not going to be revived. They're not going to spark again. They're not going to. It'll never, ever happen there again. Because they forgot God. They got the ark. But they ain't got God. See, God won't be used. And this morning, just simply this. We better be careful of ourselves.
Yes.
That we walk with God before trouble comes. We better walk with God before trouble comes. Have everything lined up before He comes. Because when trouble comes, it's too late. Try to tell people who's not saved. You know, they say, well, I believe I'll call on the Lord before I die. Well, I've been at the yellow line with too many cars, and I've done help scrape brains in boxes. And,
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me? I've done help carry the stretchers, and I've done come up on them, and they find a preacher and find out I'm a preacher, and they make room for the preacher to come through. But when they pull the boys out, there's no arms and there's no heads and there's no, I mean, it don't, there's no time to call on God then.
Right.
It don't work.
Right.
Are you understanding that? That don't work.
Yes.
You know, what good the preacher going to do? Preacher can't. See, that's what everybody wants, is the preacher. The preacher ain't who you need this morning.
Right.
You need the Lord.
Right.
You don't need the preacher.
Right.
Huh? I'm just a waiter. Do you know that? I'm just a servant that comes by with a plate of food to get you strong enough to go on into the world. That's all my job is. I have no power.
Right.
Huh? The people look at the preacher.
Yeah.
Look at the church. Go fetch God. Go fetch God.
Right.
Go fetch. Hey! You'll go fetch God. You don't fetch God. God ain't going to be used. Huh? We okay with that this morning? So what do we do, preacher? Repent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Repent, repent, repent. You know your heart, you know your life, repent.
Amen.
There's no help nowhere else. Huh? But God ain't going to be used. He ain't going to be. Huh? We're going to love him. We're going to trust him. Yeah. But I'm going to love and trust him before trouble comes. I want to walk with him before trouble comes. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, we'll go to bed, get up, read our Bibles, and pray and trust the Lord like we always have. Before trouble comes and after trouble comes.
Absolutely.
And we won't be using God. Because God's faithful. But you don't forget God. You don't forget God. You don't pay no mind. You don't neglect God. You don't make your heart carnal and calloused. Huh? Because if so, you'll become a casualty. And the casualties are more every time. Are you hearing me? More every time. 4,000, then 30,000, then what? Captivity. How many died in captivity? How many of the children of Israel died in captivity? It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the children of Israel still, though they be loved of God, things have been taken away. And you think we're different?
No.
Now I want everybody to look at me close. Y'all know that I'm American. And y'all know that I'm patriotic. And I will fight if I have to for the freedom of our country. Sure. Sure. I mean, I'm not going to. You may understand that. If they draft, I'm not going to say no. I'm a conscientious objector. I'll go. I'd go today. I'd go now. If it keeps landing or some of these young boys around here to keep him from going, I'd go. Keep Caleb from going, I'd go.
Yeah.
Keep you guys from going, I'd gladly go. I can't run, I shoot. You know, that ain't no problem. Huh? But can I tell you, America's not our God.
Amen.
Worship is not our salvation. And we're not going to fetch God when trouble comes.
Amen.
We better be walking with God now. Father, I've tried to give simply this morning. Lord, I look at our country, look at our county, look at our community, our church. Oh God, I look at our own personal lives. Lord, help us to walk with you now before trouble comes. But when trouble does come, then we have faith in you. Help us this morning to repent of our sins. Oh God, I pray that we might repent of our sins. In Jesus' name, and amen. Let's stand.